Hello and welcome to the program and happy Mother's Day. Today, we honor all moms in the Metroplex who are stepping up for their kids and helping to raise young men and women who will be the leaders of tomorrow. This year, my cousin Catherine, who lives in Florida, is going to be celebrating her very first Mother's Day, and not with a newborn, but with a 10-year-old boy that she adopted through the foster care system. It has been absolutely amazing to see her journey unfold thanks to her posts on social media. And I know so many families here in North Texas have taken the same journey. Today, we are going to highlight an agency that is helping those families, Jonathan's Place. Jonathan's Place is a nonprofit that provides safe, loving homes and specialized services for children who have been abused, abandoned, or neglected. The month of May is Foster Care Awareness Month, and these children could use your help, whether as a foster parent, as an adoptive parent, or as a volunteer for the agency, or as an advocate for Jonathan's Place by raising awareness about their work. Joining me in studio today is Alicia Graham Fry, the CEO of Jonathan's Place, and Jennifer Maddox. Jennifer is the Assistant Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place. Also in studio today, foster parent Andrea Mulewa. Andrea and her husband, Raphael, have been foster adoptive parents with Jonathan's Place in September of last year. And Andrea joins us to share her story. Alicia, Jennifer, Andrea, thank you all so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Alicia, it is Foster Care Awareness Month. What would you like people here in North Texas to know about the need for foster parents like Andrea and her husband, Raphael?
Well, there's a great need. Last year alone, there were over 289,000 alleged victims of child abuse in the state of Texas. And out of that 289,000, over 63,000 were confirmed. So that means those children are going to need placements. They're going to need a safe place to live. And we really need foster parents for that. In Dallas alone, we have around 2,100 children in foster care, but there's a need for 4,300. So those children are sitting in residential treatment centers or emergency shelters, and we really want to find homes for those children. So there's a great need for foster homes.
Jonathan's Place started back in 1991 as an emergency shelter, as a group foster home. How did it evolve into having programs for foster care parents and adoptive parents?
Well, we try to meet the need of our community. So that's how we've grown over the years. We've partnered with the state, and we ask them, what do you need right now? And you're right. We started out as emergency shelter, and then we brought on a girl therapeutic program for girls 10 to 18 who the majority have suffered from sexual abuse. Then we brought on our foster care and adoption program because there was such a need for foster care and adoption. And just last year, we brought on a transitional living program for girls 17 to 23 who are aging out of the foster care system and need a support system after they leave foster homes.
Jennifer, how does the foster care and adoption program work through Jonathan's Place?
The first step to joining our program is to attend an orientation to find out about the fostering process or foster to adopt process, whatever the family's goal is. And from there, they go through our training cycle, they are licensed, we work with them, we support them, and the children that will be placed in their home.
How many introductory educational programs do you have for prospective foster parents or adoptive parents?
We have orientations monthly, one orientation each month in our Dallas County office as well as in our Tarrant County office. We have an office in Fort Worth as well. And so they have two opportunities to attend orientation. If those dates don't work with them, then we can also do one-on-one sessions. Because there is such a great need for foster homes, for foster adoptive parents, that we want to do what we can to get those families into the process.
Alicia, is this why something like Foster Care Awareness Month is so important, to raise awareness about that need?
It really is. And it's a way to direct individuals to our website at jpkids.org, and they can gather more information there.
And then if they want to go to one of the orientations, it doesn't mean that you're committing. It's just finding out about the process. What are some of the basic requirements, Jennifer, of becoming a foster parent?
They will go through the pre-service training, which is about 40 hours of training with Jonathan's Place. They have to submit to a background check, TB test. They have to ensure that there is space in their home for the number of children that they want to care for. There are requirements that they have to do inside the home as far as making sure it's safe for the children. and then we complete the home study, and they're licensed.
Andrea, you and your husband, Raphael, are foster parents right now. When did you guys first consider becoming foster parents?
Well, it has always been in my heart to be a foster parent. I think some of us, we just are that way. A couple years ago, we said, okay, I think it's time. And I'm so glad I did. Jonathan's Place, I would really recommend. They're organized. They'll help you through the process. And it's just one of those things that it will change your life. Just the laughter of the kids, having them in your home, it means everything to us.
How did you find out about Jonathan's Place?
At the time, we were just researching different agencies, and we just really liked them because they were really organized with their training schedule, and it's very clear. They tell you the dates to go to. They just kind of lay it all out for you, and I really like that. And so we just chose it from there.
How many children are you caring for right now, Andrea?
We have two babies. We have a 7-month-old and an 8-month-old, and we've also had two other kids that have left our home. So we've had four altogether through Jonathan's Place.
Now, your foster parents right now, are you and your husband, Raphael, considering becoming adoptive parents through
the
foster
care? Absolutely, yes. Yes, you can either foster or you can foster to adopt. You have that option. And we would love to adopt them. We'll just kind of see how it's a process that you go through, and we'll just kind of see how it turns out.
Jennifer, how important is it for you all, as representatives of Jonathan's Place, to be there for families like Andrea and Raphael as they navigate the process? Because you guys don't just train them and then go, okay, you're on your own.
Right. It's critical that we are there for our parents, for our foster parents. It's something that we take great pride in, that we are supportive for our families, because it's not always an easy process. And they need someone to be in their corner, to advocate for them, and keep them aware of what's really going on, how the process works, what could be coming around the corner, just preparing them for each move.
What is the one thing that you want foster parents to know, Alicia, before they even enter this process?
That they can do it. You know, through the years, I've had so many people mm-hmm. come up to me and say, you know, I've always thought about it, but then I just don't do it. Just take the first step. Yeah. That's all you have to do is come to the orientation. We are very transparent. We care just as much for our parents as we do for our children. And we want to make sure that it's a good fit for both. So we will let you know everything that's involved. There's no, you know, secrets mm-hmm. anywhere, you know, so anyone can do this.
You don't try to sugarcoat it either.
We definitely don't. So, you know, just take that first step and come to mm-hmm. orientation. And there's so many times that people do that and they're so surprised and they're like, I can actually do this.
Mm-hmm. Do you find families, Jennifer, that sometimes that they'll go to one orientation and they're like, okay, we're not ready for this. And then several months later, or maybe even a year later, we'll come back?
Yes. Yeah. That is not uncommon at all for a family to attend orientation and then 6 months, maybe even a year later, they come back and decide that they are ready. And that's okay. It needs to be on your schedule, on when you feel the time is right for your family.
Andrea, you and your husband are fostering babies. Have you considered fostering older kids?
No, it's our personal choice. And that's what's great is that if you're thinking of fostering, you can choose like what age. Some families would prefer older kids. Some families would prefer age school children. But that's the great thing is that you get to pick like what age would work best for your family. You know, so I think that makes it a little easier for the families to go through that process.
Alicia, what are the backstories of some of these kids that you're placing in homes like Andrea and Raphael's?
We have one girl in our shelter right now that we are waiting for placement on, and she is 15, and she's an amazing basketball player, and she's being recruited. So we're juggling around, trying to figure out how we can get her to these games and keep her life as normal as possible. So we're waiting for a foster family, and hopefully it'll be one of ours that will be able to take her. She was removed from a home due to abuse. We also have a young girl who's in one of our girls' therapeutic programs right now that came to us, and she was very aggressive. She grew up in a home where she had to pretty much fight almost every day to survive. And we have put her in, believe it or not, boxing classes because we were trying to find something that she'd be good at and passionate about. And, you know, hopefully we'll control her anger and give her respect for boxing. And so it's working.
So to channel that
anger.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And she's doing a fantastic job. And it's really helped. We have children that come to us just having suffered from sexual abuse. You know, they come to us with broken bones. And these children just need love. They just need someone to take them in that they can count on and show them love. We have cared for over 5,400 children in the 27 years that we've been around. And that's all these children needed was love and security. Last year alone, we cared for close to 300 children in all of our programs. And it never ends, you know. And I just want people to know that we've been around for 27 years and we will continue to be around as long as our community needs us. So for those families that do come, like you just talked about, who may come to an orientation but not come back for a year, that shows right there that we don't pressure you. That it's whenever you're ready, come and get the information. We're not going anywhere. We'll be here, but just take that first step because there are children right now that need you. And we have close to around 80 children in all of our programs right now that need these families, that need these homes.
My guest once again today on this Mother's Day, Alicia Graham Fry, the CEO of Jonathan's Place, and Jennifer Maddox, the Assistant Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place. Jonathan's Place is a nonprofit that provides a safe place and a loving home to children who have been abused, abandoned, or neglected. The month of May, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, is Foster Care Awareness Month. So I wanted to raise awareness to highlight the work that Jonathan's Place does to find homes for the children that they serve. Also in studio today, foster parent Andrea Mulewa. And Andrea's been sharing her and her husband's story. She and her husband, Rafael, are foster parents to two little babies right now, but they've also fostered some other children prior to these two babies. What was most helpful to you, Andrea, when you were going through the training process? What was most helpful to you and to Rafael?
At Jonathan's Place, you get an opportunity to meet other foster parents who have already been through the system, and they give you one-on-one attention, and they explain to you, okay, this is what we experienced, this was what you might see, and I felt that that was the very best thing that we could have done, is to hear directly from them. And I've met a couple of really good friends that are foster parents through Jonathan's Place that we we kind of have formed our own support system. And that's what I would like people to know, too, is that you're not on your own. You get to meet other foster parents who you can call and you can say, oh, my gosh, I have this. What do I do? They've been through it. Or if they haven't, they know someone and they can connect you with them. And so I think that's been the very neatest thing, is meeting new friends.
Jennifer, we talked about some of the basic requirements, and you talked about the 40 hours of training, the orientations, and we talked about the background checks, all that stuff. But what about, like, at what age can you become a foster parent or an adoptive parent, and can you be a single person and adopt? How about gay couples?
Yes. So we require families to be at least 23 years old when they come to us. We don't really have a back-end limit. Age limit. We are open to all families at Jonathan's Place. So we license married couples, unmarried couples, single parents, LGBT couples, LGBT individuals. We are looking for the best homes for these children. If you can provide a loving, safe home for these children, then we want to work with you.
Andrew, you said it was always in your heart, but what was it that really made you and your husband decide, okay, now is the time?
Well, we're getting older. You know, time is moving. So it's just, it's time to grow our family. And we just knew it, you know.
Is there a timeline for becoming an adoptive parent through the foster care system?
There is. We're looking at about a year, where I know Jennifer and Alicia can tell you a little bit more about the timelines. But it's about a year that you look at to start adopting, and then you have another 6 months after that. So it can take a year to a year and a half, and every case is a little bit different. But that's definitely our goal, is to adopt these two babies, hopefully, that we have right now.
I mentioned my cousin Catherine, who's celebrating her first Mother's Day after adopting a 10-year-old boy. And she had started with a group much like Jonathan's Place in Florida, where she lives. It was an emergency group home. She just started as a volunteer and had no intention of becoming a foster parent or even an adoptive parent. And she says that very first day at that home, she was assigned 5 kids, and she immediately fell in love with one of the boys who was not available for adoption at that time. And then when she found out after several months that he was going to be up for adoption, she put in the application. But it was a year and a half process for her. Mm-hmm. And she chronicled her journey with our family on social media. But she did chronicle the tough parts of the journey, because as we mentioned, it's not an easy road. You have to be fully committed. And she talked about some of the anger issues that he had at first, that when he first went to her home, he was this perfect child. And then all of a sudden, he started acting out because he was afraid that she was going to abandon him like so many others had.
Right.
Is this a typical story?
It is. You know, every child is different, but you have to realize that our children have been through a lot. You know, they've suffered from a lot of trauma, from a lot of rejection. So they're always waiting for someone to just toss them aside. You know, so there will be that period, and we call it the honeymoon phase sometimes. And then it's okay, it's real. I'm really here. I'm waiting for them to turn me away. I'm waiting for them to throw me away like my family did. But you know what? It's no different than having, you know, when I talk to friends who have biological children and what they're going through with their teenagers, sometimes they're teenagers, you know? So you do have to be committed. You are a parent now. And then there's children that some families won't experience anything, and it'll be smooth sailing. It really just depends on the child and the situation, and all of us are different.
Jennifer, we talked about how you guys do not let them fly solo. You help them navigate not just the system, the legal system, but you help them navigate the emotional.
The day-to-day.
Yes.
Yes. First, the training is designed to help you parent children who have experienced trauma, because it is not typical parenting. These children have experiences that have changed them. So we try to prepare you through the training to parent these children. But also, yes, you are going to have the very difficult days, the difficult behaviors, because they are going to reject you before you have the chance to reject them. And so they're testing you to see if you're going to give up on them. Or we often tell our parents that it's a positive thing when the kids start acting out, because they're starting to trust you and to believe that they can show you their true self and you won't send them away.
You won't abandon
them.
Yes.
And so, but when you do have the difficult behaviors, you need some ideas on how do I parent this, or you need more resources, then we come in and we find what other services we can provide to you and
so
to the child.
Other foster parents that have gone through Jonathan's Place that Andrea had said that she could reach out to, also maybe some therapists who might be able to
definitely
help?
Depending on the child's age, but the majority of the children in our home will have a therapist. We will get that referred immediately. And then some of our kids, many of our kids, have a behavioral therapist in addition to their regular therapy sessions.
And if somebody wants more information, they can go to jpkids.org. That website, once again, jpkids.org. If you want more information about becoming a foster parent or about becoming an adoptive parent, jpkids.org. Andrea, is one of the reasons why you and your husband chose that you wanted babies is that so that you wouldn't have to deal with those emotional issues? They're the child's insecurity, the child's anger, the child's fear of rejection. With a baby, you don't have those kind of issues.
Honestly, yeah.
Now, I'm sure people have asked you before, since the babies that you currently have are not your first foster children,
right?
How difficult is it when you have to return the child to their biological parents or to another family member?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's awful. The first one that happened to, I cried for a month, and I couldn't even go in his room because it was so emotional. And I often have people, that's the first thing they'll say to me, oh, I've always wanted to foster, but I couldn't handle them leaving. And I just want to let them know that you will be able to get through it. And there's a reason for that, and that I did get through it. And I feel that I'm a better person for it, because I've experienced that. And I would just encourage someone that's thinking of fostering, but they think, oh gosh, I can't handle that, you might be surprised that you might be able to really handle that, and it might really help you in your life with other things. And so I would encourage someone not to let that stop them.
And even though it's not easy for you, it's in the best interest of the child.
Yes, exactly.
So you're thinking as a real parent, what's in the best interest of the child. And you guys help with that, Alicia.
We do. And I also think that a lot of our families come in with this preconceived notion that they want, you know, an infant or just strictly a teen. And that's what's so great about Jonathan's Place is you have to have a certain number of supervised observation hours. So you get to do those hours in our emergency shelter. And we've had families who come in saying they just want babies, and then they volunteered in our shelter working with those children, and they're like, oh, maybe I will take a 5-year-old, or oh, maybe I will take a 12-year-old,
oh,
or
like
a teen.
My cousin, you know,
exactly.
Volunteering and falling
exactly.
in love.
Exactly. So just that's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with knowing that you want infants or knowing that you specifically want teens. I just ask people to stay open to everything. And once you come into that shelter and you're, you know, doing your observation hours, and you're playing with those children, it may change. It may change.
On the website, jpkids.org, once again, if you want more information, jpkids.org, it says, a safe place, a loving home, and a promising future. You've seen the difference that a family can make when they take a chance on a child from Jonathan's Place. Alicia, what do you hear from the kids who are under your care about the dream of having that forever family?
You know, isn't that something we all want, is to belong? And that's what we want for our children. You know, I want them to have as normal of a life as they possibly can. You know, I want somebody to be there for their birthdays and when they graduate from high school and when they go off to college and get married. That's something that all of these children deserve. And that's something that they can get at Jonathan's Place.
You know, it's graduation time. I think that's one of the saddest stories that I hear is that there's so many kids who are in foster care who, when they graduate, they don't have anybody there sitting in the stands cheering them on.
That's right.
Unless they get a good foster family. What are the questions that you want people to ask before they even go to an orientation meeting, Jennifer?
Well, I want them to look at their life and decide, do we have space in our life to care for these children? Because it is a commitment. The other thing is, I want them to ask themselves, am I able to allow this child to come in and then knowing the child may leave? Because it is difficult. And we acknowledge that it's difficult. We help our families through that grieving process that they need to go through and allow them that time to grieve. But I would ask that they look at that and take on that pain so that the child doesn't have to have continued loss.
My guest once again on this Mother's Day, Alicia Graham Fry, the CEO of Jonathan's Place, and Jennifer Maddox is also in studio, the Assistant Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place, a nonprofit that provides a safe place and a loving home to children who've been abused, abandoned, or neglected. The month of May, Foster Care Awareness Month. I think it's interesting that May is Foster Care Awareness Month, and it comes after the month of April, which is Child Abuse Prevention Month, because so many kids who are abused ended up in the foster care system. And as you mentioned, there are thousands upon thousands. On any given day, I think there's 428,000 kids in the United States who are in the foster care system. So the need is great for foster parents, for foster to adopt options out there for families who have that calling, as Andrea and her husband Raphael had, or who feel like they want to do more because they have so much love to give. jpkids.org. Besides the foster care and adoption services, you have so many other services that you provide. We talked a little bit about the emergency shelter, the foster group home. What are some of the other services that you have, Alicia?
Our transitional living program as well, and that's new. That's around a year and a half old, and that's where we will take in children who are aging out of the foster care system. So whether that's one of our foster homes, or a different agency's foster homes.
You said it's 17 to 23 years
old. Correct.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being on my own. own at the age of 17 or 18.
Exactly. Exactly. And where it gets a little difficult is that we all thought we could be, right, at 18. And then, you know, we moved out. And then, but for those of us who had great families, we were able to move back home when we realized that our dad was right when he said those lights don't pay for themselves and that cell phone doesn't pay for itself. Okay, I need to move back home or call for money or to go to your parents' house to do laundry. Children that age out of foster care, they don't have that. Once they're done, if they don't come into a transitional living program or, you know, an SIL program, then they're just on their own. And so they don't have that support system. And so we wanted to be there for these children. We want to help guide them, teach them, you know, life skills. If they want to go to college, help them get into college. You know, any child that's been in the foster care system in the state of Texas can go to college for free. But what does that mean when it's time to get there and fill out the paperwork or move into your dorm room for the first time? You don't have sheets and comforters and all the things that you need. And that's a huge accomplishment to even get into college. So we want to celebrate that with these children. And then for those who maybe college isn't for them, we want to teach them the difference between a career and a job. We are there to support them in this next amazing phase of their lives. Based on the programs that we've talked about, you can see that Jonathan's Place offers a continuum of care. So we care for children from birth to the age of 23. And we've been doing that for a while, and we'll continue to do so as long as there's a need. And there's definitely a need.
Besides all of those programs, you also know that there are a lot of kids at risk who end up as runaways.
Correct.
And need a safe place.
Yes. And so we have, we are the Dallas County affiliate for the National Safe Place Program, and that's a runaway prevention program. And we go into middle schools and high schools, and we talk to students about the dangers of running away and being on the street. We talk to them about trafficking and what they can do. We have a partnership with QT convenience stores and with DART buses and trains. And you'll see a yellow, it's like a yellow yield sign in front of the QT stores and on all buses and trains. And a child can jump on a bus, say they need a safe place. They will drive them to a QT where we will pick them up. And we will pick up these children 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And we'll bring them back to our campus and we'll assess the situation. So we do all that we can to keep them off the streets because it's very dangerous for these children. They all think that, you know, they're not being seen by anyone. But, you know, perpetrators, they know what to look for. And so we want to make sure those children are safe.
What is the statistic? Within 48 hours, a child on the street can become the victim of a human trafficker?
Yes. We had a little boy who was, he was playing with his little brother outside and wanted to go to the store, and his brother didn't want to go, so he went by himself, and he got lost and ended up at a QT, and he's 7. And they called us, and we went out to him, and we asked him where he lived, and he didn't know his address. So there, our manager at the time, she put him in the car and said, "What school do you go to?" And she Googled his school, Google mapped it, got to his school, and said, "Now, how do you walk home from school?" And that's how she was able to get him home, and his parents still didn't know he wasn't there. They thought he was still outside playing. You know, it takes a second for someone to snatch a child off the street. So we do all we can to go out to the schools and talk to these students. And we talk to thousands of students a year in order to educate them on what they need to look for and what they can do.
Jennifer, some people may not be ready, like Andrea and Raphael, to become foster parents or adoptive parents. How can the community help Jonathan's Place besides those roles?
If they know a foster parent, I would ask that family, what can I do for you? How can I support you? Can I bring you a meal once a week or once a month? You know, just to give you a little break. They could become a certified babysitter for those families so that the family can go out to dinner. The parents, they can donate. You can donate clothing and toys because that is open to our families for when the children are placed in their home. They may come with very little. They may come with nothing, or what they come with, they may not be wearable. So our families come there to build the child's wardrobe. You can volunteer. We have had many volunteers who started out in the emergency shelter once a week volunteering and became foster parents.
JPKids.org. If you want more information, JPKids.org, the month of May, Foster Care Awareness Month. Raise awareness, learn more, and see how you can help volunteer. volunteer at Jonathan's Place or donate items. I know you guys have graduation ceremonies. Also, with summer coming up, you probably could use some tickets to the movies so the kids can go out for day trips. JPKids.org. Thank you so much, Alicia Fry and Jennifer Maddox, and especially Andrea Mulewa. Thank you so much for sharing your story as a foster parent with your husband, Raphael. And happy Mother's Day to all of you.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for having us.
Before we wrap up on this Mother's Day, if you would like a mom t-shirt that helps raise money for cancer research, then log on to Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott's website. Last week, Dak Prescott announced he would honor his late mom by selling Mom Mind Over Matter t-shirts with 100% of the net proceeds going to cancer research. You can find out more at DakPrescott4.com. That's Dak Prescott, 4.com. Happy Mother's Day.